Okay. We'll try this again. Welcome to Woods and Water, South Carolina. We are live from the media room in Minute Maid Park in Houston, Texas. I am here with Michael Malone, who is the Director of Events and Tourism Partnerships for Bassmaster. Michael, thank you for being on Woods and Water, South Carolina.
Thanks for having me. Great to be here.
Yes, sir. Sorry about that, folks. Had a little bit of technical difficulties rolling off, and we'll fix that after the show is over today.
We'll have our own too. We'll try to make sure nobody else sees it.
That's right. And welcome to live radio.
That's it.
This is what happens.
Exactly. We've got the Bassmaster Live going on too, so it's part of the show, and we get it.
Yeah, we get it. Wow, Houston, it started off great.
Wow. Excellent start.
I mean, the weather was horrid out on the lake.
You know, but it's weather. So, I mean, we work in the outdoors. It's not like we're going to be at a basketball court. So, I mean, it's what it is.
And these guys are good. They adjust to all different weather, hot, cold. I mean,
some of them have trouble putting their gear on while they're doing that. We saw some video of one of our anglers couldn't quite maneuver and think he needed his mom to get help him get a sleeve in. But that's part of it. And, but that's, you know, and, you know, we started the year off at the Elite Series at Cherokee and, you know, cold as can be. And we wanted to kind of throw them a curve ball with some different aspects, different weather, and you know, when we were at Greenville the last time in 2015, it was 9 degrees in the first day.
That's right.
And you know, that's part of what we looked at for future of what we do for dates.
Yeah.
And but these guys can handle the best of the best. The joke is, you know, the fishing's the easy part because they'll catch them in the bathtub.
Right.
And you know, we work on the event side, trying to make the event great for everybody. Yeah. So they can enjoy it not just in person but to a worldwide audience. But these guys are unbelievable, and the weights really show it.
Yeah, and whether you want to call it a wash bowl or a soup bowl yesterday, Lake Conroe, and folks, if you've never been on Lake Conroe, it's just side to side seawalls.
It is.
So there's no shore like Lake Hartwell to even out those waves and absorb, and all the energy just gets redirected right back into the middle of the thing. But you play a huge role in bringing the classic or anything to a city.
Right.
And you were talking earlier, this Houston stop has been 10 years in the making.
It has been. And, you know, and we, you know, the, and I appreciate you saying that, but it's really a teamwork. There's a ton of teamwork that goes into this. My role with the company is really as the advance guys that I go out and I make the deals with the city, to help bring the event to town. And, although I've got the relationships with a lot of the cities, you know, the decision process is a team event. We bring that to our board of directors. There's a lot that goes into it. So it's, people say, well, we want you to go to this lake or that lake. Well, we've got to have a great fishery that has, you know, 10,000 acres. We need a convention center that can host the largest outdoor consumer expo that's free and family friendly. We need an arena type venue that's going to host at least 15,000 seats so we can have an arena show that goes with it. We need an airport that's going to have good lift so we can get people in and out. Hotels so we can house over 4,000 people with just our staff before any fans come. So there's so much that goes into it before we can even decide if a city wants to bid on it. And then a city has to want to do it. And we're incredibly grateful that Greenville and Anderson have stepped up. For the third time coming back there next year. And we are just totally stoked and excited about coming back there. So it's going to be a great year next year.
You know, you brought it back, and we'll kind of skip ahead a little bit. But what does it say about towns like Anderson, Greenville, and a fishery like Hartwell that you guys would come back three times?
Well, it says a lot about the people. And, you know, and I really go back to an article that a Canadian reporter did. He came down and he wrote an article that we kept, and it kind of made us honestly a little emotional. And when Dave Precht, our VP of communications, who's been with Bass since the 70s, shares that and says, you guys got to read this.
Yeah.
And he talked about not just Bass.
Right.
And not just the community, but the industry and the people that are involved in it. And the upstate of South Carolina really is the perfect match for us.
Okay.
For what it offers, to our fans and to the industry. Number one, people get it. And, you know, it doesn't work everywhere. But when you talk about the people who are listening to the show, that are passionate about the outdoors, that they understand how conservation is key, how, you know, we drive the industry through what we do, the baits that these pros are going to be using are going to be used by them later on in the year. All of that plays such a key component into this thing that we do in the outdoors. So when you talk about my aspect of it, of just doing the site selection, mm-hmm. I look at my job as kind of as the catalyst.
Okay.
I want to get things happening at a place, and then it gives the opportunity for every team member that we have at Bass to get their job done right, and then for all of our sponsors to highlight their products, all the anglers to highlight their brands, and then for the fans to experience it and put on a show that is unlike any other.
It is unlike any other. It's the Super Bowl of bass fishing.
It is. And people say, well, you know, do you not want to use that because it's Super Bowl is such a big thing? But the Super Bowl has the connotation of being the biggest that there is, and it's the ultimate, and it really is. When it comes to other boat shows, when it comes to other outdoor shows, when it comes to other tournaments, this is such a different aspect of everything. I was actually walking to Minute Maid today for some morning meetings, and someone was walking by, and they saw the Dick's Sporting Goods activation that was outside,
right. Mm-hmm.
And they said, "What's going on with that?" And they actually had Cub shirts on. The Cubs are playing next week.
Okay,
so they jumped on the bandwagon, but. They said, "What's going on?" I said, "Well, we've got this fishing event going mm-hmm. on. It's called the Bassmaster Classic. Did the soup to nuts of everything what it is." And they're like, "Well, how much does it cost to get in?"
Nothing.
Not a thing. And they're like, "Well, how much are you going to do something inside Minute Maid?" I said, "Think of it like an award show and a rock and roll concert all combined with a fishing tournament." I said, "And that's free too." And they're like, "Well, great," because they were just looking for things to do in downtown Houston.
Sure, yeah.
Because they're here for a few days before the Cubs play in a few days.
Yeah.
And it was a perfect match for that. So someone who's not even involved in the outdoors now can experience it and have a touch point that they never had before.
Yeah, that's the amazing thing about you bringing, well, the TD Center. I understand we'll expand the TD Center next year.
Well, we are using the same TD Center.
Right.
It isn't expanding, but we're using more space there.
Okay.
There's some ballroom space that we never had access to before.
Okay.
So right now we've contracted for 310,000 square feet of space.
Wow.
We've got 325,000 square feet here, so it's about the same. And when you combine all that, there's just more things we can have inside.
Yeah. Well, take us, your job, it's got to be one of the most rewarding from beginning to end.
Yeah.
It's got to be because you are watching, an idea is popping in. Hey, this might be a great place to go. A lot of it doesn't work out. A lot of the places you go don't work out.
Right.
So when you settle on that one, everything comes together with the host cities,
yep.
The fisheries, you deal with the natural resources people.
Absolutely.
In each city you go to.
Make sure we get those fish back to the lake.
And once you got it all set up, that's kind of when you turn it over, and then during the week you're having fun.
Well, it is a lot of fun, but it is a lot of work because we have so much to do to make sure that everybody has a great experience. But, you know, leading up to it, and just using Houston here as the example, they've been a great host city. But I came here 10 years ago when we were part of the ESPN family.
Right.
And I came on a site visit in 2007. We actually didn't even look at Minute Maid. It was actually called Enron Field back
right.
in the day. Remember those days. And we looked at the Toyota Center.
Okay.
And we looked at, which was then Reliant, now Energy Field, where they just did the Super Bowl.
Right.
And we were looking at it as, you know what, maybe we'll just, you know, curtain half of it, use 50,000 seats, put the stage up and have like a rock and roll concert as they normally would. And it's like, oh, that's not a bad idea. And then, you know, they had some staffing changes and some people left and came. And about every other year, they sent a staff member to the Classic. And this year, I've got a number of host cities that are looking for the Classic for future years.
Okay.
And so they're, you know, wanting to see what it's about, how our event changes. So Houston kept coming back, you know, we'll try to make it work sometime. And it eventually happened. So yesterday morning was actually kind of an emotional day for me.
Oh, I bet.
You know, for 10 years of my career, I've been trying to figure out how to make this thing work.
Yeah.
And so you combine that with what we are doing in Greenville next year for the third time since 2009. You know, just a quick story. I used to work in Charlotte, North Carolina on the city side.
Okay.
And the guy, John Willis, who is at the TD Convention Center, met one of his people at a trade show, said, you know, you should look at us because we've got enough space. We can host your event. And once you know it, and it worked out, and now we've got a fantastic relationship. So
yes.
It is about relationships. It's about being around good people, and we're just so grateful that we get to do it in an industry that we all love.
Day two is today.
Yeah.
The guys are out there fishing right now. The weather is, I understand, a little bit better. At least it's sunny, and the wind is at least blowing maybe 20 miles an hour less than it was yesterday.
That's good. They like a little wind, not too much.
Yeah. Weigh in tonight. Tomorrow's the day. Classic champion.
25 guys, first 19 guys fish.
Yep.
We're going to pull the whoever's leading after the 19th guy, we're going to put him aside. We're going to do a Super 6, a fantastic reveal. And some guy's going to get his life changed tomorrow. And it's going to be unbelievable. And it's just it's a great thing. It's a great thing to be a part of.
And if you've never been a part of it, next year, Greenville,
March
we can
16th,
do it again.
March 16th to 18th, St. Patrick's Day weekend. We're going to have a good time.
Hot dog. Michael, as always, good to see you again. I'll see you later on this week, and thanks for being on the show.
Again, thanks so much.
Yes, sir. All right, you guys, hang on through the break. We'll be back with more Woods and Water South Carolina on the other side.
Don't you cry no more.
Okay. Well, welcome back to Woods and Water, South Carolina. I apologize for the rocky start to the show. As always, seems like there's something, and for some reason or another, we could not hear ourselves in the headphones. And it's fixed now. I mean, I hear myself just perfectly. So, you know, like once before, it's like welcome to live radio because as it happens, you have to adjust. But, yeah, I'm here in Houston, Texas. I'm in the media center downstairs in Minute Maid Park. When you walk out the doors right through there, you take a couple turns, and you come out on the field level. So it's really neat. Came down with Neil Paul, who's sitting over here, and Helen White. I got to thank Helen, who actually moved from the media side over to the magazine, back to the magazine. And but she's here, and she was there in 2015 when it was so cold. but this is pretty cool. It has been a great week. Neil and I drove down, spent some time on the interstate, made some stops. If you're ever driving through on your way to Houston and you're in Birmingham, you might want to check out Simmons Sporting Goods in Bessemer City, Alabama. And then we stopped at Dreamland Barbecue in Tuscaloosa, Alabama, and ate some wonderful ribs at the original Dreamland Barbecue. Came on into Houston yesterday. I marshaled. And for if you're not familiar with the marshaling program with bass, what happens, and I get to do it only during the Classic because normally they reserve those spots at the tour events for guys who – they're not professional marshals, but they do it at a lot of events. So they travel on their own dime and are there to marshal. And what a marshal does is, you know, he kind of makes sure nobody's breaking the rules. Not that any of these guys would, but there's little things like, when he's fishing with one rod and reel, he's got to have the lure out of the water before he can pick up another one and fish. There's idiocy, you know, but that only applies if he gets hung up on a dock and the lure's out of the water, he can then pick up another rod and fish. So it's things like that we're looking for, kind of an own boat police force, I guess you call it. It's really fun because you get to know some of these guys very well. Yesterday I had the opportunity to marshal for Casey Ashley from Donald, South Carolina. Casey's been on the show before. He is the 2015 Classic champion during the coldest Bassmaster Classic ever. And if you were there, you know what we're talking about when we talk about cold. And I think that will be a story that will live forever. That Classic just was, it was tailor-made for Casey. Because if you talk to Casey, he'll tell you he loves a grinded-out tournament. He loves a tournament where it is tough and hard. You earn every fish, and it's not... That's just his style. And we had a good time yesterday. Started off, it was blowing a little bit and you know, you're sitting that close to him. You don't want to talk too much and you kind of follow his lead. They'll start talking to you a little bit. And then I've had this opportunity. I think this is the fifth time I've marshaled but you know, it's fun to be there with a hometown guy. It was a tough day. You know, he caught some fish. He caught some bass. He caught some stripers. He caught two catfish. Let me tell you what, catfish love a craw-colored jig and Zoom trailer because he caught two of them. And, I mean, it wasn't like accidental. It was like they were on it. You know, we jumped around. We talked a little bit. And one of the best quotes of the day was, you know what you do to the forecasted wind speeds in Texas? You add 10 miles an hour. And he was right because yesterday afternoon, I mean, what had been a 20 to 25 mile an hour wind probably went to 25 to 30. And Lake Conroe, it's a small lake. One of the smallest the Classic has ever been on. And it's not like our traditional lakes, you know, like Lake Hartwell, Lake Murray, Lake Greenwood. You know, Casey compares it to, Lake Greenwood in size, but it's a seawall lake. I mean, of the many miles of shoreline I saw yesterday, 95% of it, now I would say more than that, 98% of it was seawalls of all sorts. There were steel, steel, there's, wood, there's rock, there's, but it's all seawall. So the water has no way to dissipate the wave action. And with the wind blowing 25 sustained, you know, you had 3 to 4 foot white caps out in the middle. And that's when you're really appreciative of the skill these guys accumulate over the years fishing, because I didn't worry about the boat. I didn't worry about the driver. I will tell you this, the water is not warm enough to go swimming yet. Just a little bit chilly still, even here in Texas where it's about 82 degrees out there, I think, right now. You know, it was a tough day. He caught three fish that were keepers. And down here on Conroe, the illegal fish is 16 inches, not 14 like it is on Lake Hartwell during the tournaments. So, yeah, but you talk to him, you get to know him. It's about building a relationship. And, you know, then I got to ride back to Houston with him. And you know, it was going to be a fun ride back in when you get in his truck and there's about 6 turkey calls laying on the dash. And, so we talked turkey season. Of course, that's going on right now in South Carolina. And I know I have a couple of friends who've killed one. So I hope all the turkey hunters out there are having a good time. I hope if you're, around, and we didn't really do a calendar of events this week, but if you had a calendar of events, it would have to be the Palmetto Sportsman's Classic, which is happening in Columbia. Neil's over here. We're both sad because we're missing it for the second year in a row. You know, last year, this time, we had the FLW tournament on Lake Hartwell. He was hosting. I was fishing in it. This year, we're here because he is the next host of the Classic for 2018. And I'm here because, well, Casey and Andy Montgomery and Jason Williamson are fishing in it. But if you're in South Carolina and you're looking for something to do this weekend, and it's going on today, it will be going on tomorrow, it's the Palmetto Sportsman's Classic in Columbia, South Carolina, at the Carolina Fairgrounds. You know, I think you can go in there and hear all the turkey calls you want to hear, probably pick up a new one or two. But it's there again, a free event, just like this one here in Houston, just like the one that'll be in Greenville next year. It's free. I mean, they charge a little bit. Well, no, I'm sorry. The Palmetto Sports Classic is not free. It's $5 a day. And you pay a little parking. But, you know, hey, a family for $20, it's a great thing. But anyway, we talked a lot of turkey coming back. And, you know, last night when I lay down to go to sleep, I felt like I'd been offshore South Carolina mahi fishing because I was still rocking. But a great day here in Houston, and it's been fun. Houston's a pretty big city. It's funny, the restaurants here, if you come on the business district, the restaurants close really early, like 7 or 8 o'clock. You have to go more towards the other side of town to find the restaurants to stay open all night or till midnight. And Minute Maid Park, so it's really cool. We got here, we had media day Thursday. That's where we have a lunch, a presentation, and then we get to interview all the anglers. They had all the boats lined up on the street outside Minute Maid Park, and you just kind of bounce from boat to boat. 5-10 minutes with whoever you wanted to talk with, and had a really good time doing that. Then, they got inside, and Minute Maid Park had the roof closed. So the roof, it wasn't open. And you realize how small a baseball stadium really is. But it's been fun. The convention center is huge. They've got a lot of activities outside down here. I mean, they're having a kids fishing derby that's outside. Just a great time. I will be ready to come home and get back to South Carolina. Won't get to take any back roads coming home. Sorry. we will be hopping on I-10 and straight lining. Because actually, there is a National Archery and School Program tournament Wednesday that my daughter will be in. And so I'll be doing the dad thing next Wednesday and watching her hopefully qualify for Nationals, which will take us to Louisville, Kentucky. And then from there, we might make it to Worlds, which is in Orlando, Florida. So, but that's kind of a recap of yesterday and what's happened so far this week. It's fun. Somebody said, you're living the dream. And I said, well, yes and no. It's fun being around these events and getting to know all these people, but it's time away from everything happening back at home. And, I'll be ready to get back home even though we're having a good time here. But yeah, we are, I think there's somewhere in the round of, we were talking about media earlier. You know, Bass has their media department, which is huge. And I think there's around 230 credentialed media here this week, which is huge. See a lot of people that you see at all these events and meet some new ones every year. So anyway, we are live from Minute Maid Park with Woods and Water, South Carolina. Hang on through the bottom of the hour break. We're going to be on with more about the Bassmaster and bass in general. Hang on and more on the other side. And there is no one you can use now.
One thing is sure.
And welcome back to Woods and Water, South Carolina. We are, again, broadcasting live from Houston, Texas, Minute Maid Park. I thanked Helen White earlier, but I left out Jamie Day Matthews, who just walked off again, who is actually the media coordinator for Bass. Does a great job. She sets up when I need something. I call her, text her, email her, and she says, no, you can't have that. No, she does a great job, and they treat us very well here. You know, just from getting into town, making sure we've got our media guides, our credentials. If we want a marshal, she sets all that up for us. If we want media boat rides, she sets all that up for us. And she generally just handles any requests we have. So before I get off the air and don't get a chance to thank her, Jamie Day Matthews, she makes the media world just wonderful for us. We talked to Michael Malone last segment and hey, everything sounds good between, I can hear myself again. So maybe somehow I pushed a button over here and fixed it. But, we talked to Michael about, you know, what leads up to this as far as site selection and his job. And we're flipping over now. We're talking to Eric Lopez, who is director of operations for Bass. He essentially takes what Michael has gotten together and runs with it during the week. Eric, welcome to Woods and Water, South Carolina. Thanks for being here.
Thanks for having me on. I appreciate it.
I know you're busy.
We're busy. We are very busy.
Very busy. Yep. And that's why I really appreciate it. It's amazing doing this show. You get these guests on and they love talking about what they do, but at the same time, they're very busy. So you appreciate their time and I want you to know that. You told me earlier your team goes from about 3 people to 600 with something like that. Take us through just a little bit of what it takes to operate in between when Michael hands it off to you and it shuts down Monday.
Sure, absolutely. Well, first off, you were just talking about Jamie Day Matthews and how she tries to get everything she can.
Yes.
I guarantee she'd be a lot nicer to you if it wasn't for me and my team, because there's a good chance that she's coming to us with one of your questions.
Sure,
and
sure.
Says, hey, someone wants to know if they can do this.
Yeah.
Like, oh, sorry, I don't think we're going to let them do
yeah.
that. We're the rules guys.
Okay.
So, I don't know if Michael got into the fact that we first showed up in Houston just about 10 years ago.
Right, he did.
To make this happen
yes.
for the
uh-huh.
first time. So Michael and I work side by side. He looks at a venue from the economic and feasibility standpoint.
All right.
I look at it from an operational standpoint. Can we make this work?
Right.
Can
okay.
we build the expo here? So from the convention center standpoint, yes, that's a no-brainer.
Right.
The George R. Brown Convention Center is a great facility. The weigh-in in a baseball stadium, however,
a little challenging.
That was a little different. So it has been very challenging
yeah.
In a positive way. We all learned a lot. The Houston Astros learned a lot about fishing.
Sure.
The Bass staff learned a lot about grass and dirt.
Oh wow.
The groundskeepers.
That's right, because that's not a turf field out there.
No.
Yes.
I wish it was.
You'd make your life easier.
Yeah, absolutely. They have the Cubs coming in for an exhibition game on Thursday of this week, and
oh,
that's
wow.
a brand new. grass out there. So we're the first ones that are on it.
Okay.
So we're being very protective. But, yeah, so we look and see, do we think we can do it? And then we invite the Houston folks out. They were in Tulsa watching the events, and I sat side by side with them.
Okay.
And they looked at it, and they said they felt comfortable. I said I felt comfortable, and we said, yeah, let's do this.
So the light just went on here. It is a two-way street. You have to be able to make your own work in their facility. They have to look at what you do and say, yeah, we can make our facility work with what you needed to do.
Oh, absolutely. Typically, you know, we're in a 19,000 or so stadium, just your traditional stadium.
Sure, sure.
But this one was unique, so that's why we had to see if we were comfortable doing it, but most importantly, if the facility was comfortable, because it's their house. We're coming in and we're borrowing their house, and they were.
And you brought up something a minute ago that you came here and watched some of them setting up. Watched some of the setup.
Absolutely.
Just to see.
So Super Bowl was going on here in Houston, and there were events at Minute Maid. There were events at the convention center. So we came out several times to see what they were doing because the Bassmaster Classic, obviously it's an enormous event, but unless you've been to it, I don't think people realize, our fans probably don't realize, how large this event actually is. I mean, it is on par with any of the big events that are out there. We have the majority of the convention center and all of Minute Maid. So from a staging standpoint, we're using the same size crews that any other major event would. So there was a lot that we wanted to see and learn because we were inventing a new format for fishing weigh-ins.
Very good. You know, you mentioned the expo. That is that's a lot of people over there.
There are a lot of people at the expo. We have just about 225 exhibitors displaying the newest and greatest products. But again, that's a perfect example of how large the classic is. When you add up the people working those booths, the sponsors and exhibitors, there's about 4,500 people there just executing the expo. So before we even open the doors to the first person, there are already 4,500 people in there working the booth space.
And if you go over there, there's every bit of that and then some probably. By the time you add in like pros that are over there working the show and stuff like that, there's a bunch of people over there.
Oh, absolutely. We've already had tens of thousands go through today.
Details. This is a very detail-oriented thing.
This is extremely detail-oriented.
From not only can we do it there, but we were talking about crowd control. So you work with police departments, sheriff's departments, everywhere y'all go.
So, sure, absolutely. So one of the big things for events this large is you have to involve every governmental agency and municipality. So we're working with the city. We're working with Houston Police Department. We're working with the fire department, anyone that's involved with crowd control management. I mean, because we have thousands of people lining up. So those people are crossing the streets and standing outside. And we also have to be prepared. What if all of a sudden something happens? We have to be prepared for the unfortunate as well. Just like they are for a traditional baseball game here, there are plans that go into effect. We have to make sure we have the same plans and all systems are ready to go. You know, we have the eyes of all Houston are on us right now. So we have every media agency and people from all over the world here, lots of cameras rolling. So, you know, with media attention comes a lot of other things that we have to be prepared for. So
right.
We are.
The stage out here.
Yes.
We were here Thursday. I think it was still going up.
Yes.
During media day. On grass.
We're not on the grass.
You're not on
the
grass.
We're on the dirt. We're on the dirt. So we are not actually using any of the grass. If you take a close look at it. So that was the one agreement that we had to have in place before we built anything. So no one from our side is stepping on the grass at all. So we had to build bridges to go over the grass. So you could see when the anglers exit the stage, when the media teams are going out there, they're going over a bridge. That's obviously sacred to a baseball team, and because of the upcoming game, they want to make sure they have that ready to go. So the stage is right by third base, kind of in the shortstop position there, on the grass. I mean, I'm sorry,
on the dirt.
On the dirt. And then the boats are coming in. One of the most important aspects of our events are the boats processing in front of the fans. And we wanted to be able to preserve that. So we came up with a plan with the grounds crew and the staff here to be able to bring the boats around in the warning track. So so fans could see the anglers line up and have that same experience. But, you know, we're not trying to replicate what we've done in the past and force it into a baseball stadium. We created created all new plans here. So okay. That was the fun part.
Yeah. So there is now when will you take a deep breath and say, good job?
When I am on the flight, headed back to Birmingham, Alabama. We're the first ones in and the last ones out.
Yeah. You and Michael have worked together for a number of years.
Yes, we have. He likes to say, he books it, I cook it. I don't say that. He does. But in a nutshell, that's what we do.
That's what you do. You know, he's really, you know, he told me earlier this week, he said, I've really got to just dial it back a little bit and relax and all that. Is he like that from start to finish with an event like this?
His words, not mine.
Yeah.
It's very easy for anyone at the week of the Classic and leading up, just to start feeling that stress. You know, people are coming out for the Classic this week. We've been living and breathing this for well over a year now.
Right.
He describes himself as an Italian from New York. And, so he gets a little high strung at times. And,
right.
And I say that in a good way. He'd be laughing if I were here. I have to be, and my team, we have to be even keel. People get upset and frustrated sometimes when
sure.
something's going on. Eric, don't you realize something's going on? How come you're not reacting? It's our job to remain calm. It's our job to remain, in a position where we're ready to respond and quickly come up with a plan in case something were to happen. So if someone were to take a look at us, you would see we have very different personalities.
Yeah.
But you kind of need both of those positions. If I have a contractual issue, if something's not going right, I'm going to go to him, and he's going to cause a storm with whoever to help me get it done.
Right.
And so my team and I could just continue to execute and continue to build the event or operate the event. In the meantime, he's behind the scenes like the Tasmanian Devil spinning
right.
around.
Right, right. So. Well, when will you head to Greenville?
The good thing about Greenville is
we're easy.
Yeah, you guys are easy. We're very familiar with the site, and we have all the plans in place. We'll make a trip out there probably in the next month or so. The cool thing that we're excited about with the expo, we were able to get even more square footage, so the expo will be even bigger. We were turning people away last time we were there.
Right.
So it'll be bigger this time.
Well, very good. Well, we can't wait to have you in town. Well,
thank you.
Yeah, the first time of many times, and then
that's right.
You know, let me tell you, March of 18 will be here before you know it.
Oh, absolutely. I'm already thinking about it.
There you go. Well, you got to wrap this up first.
Yeah.
Well, look, thanks for being on Woods and Water, South Carolina. It's been great so far, and I'm sure tomorrow just cap off a perfect week.
Thanks for having me.
Thank you very much. All right, you guys, hang on through the break. Who knows who's going to be on here next, but we'll have fun with it. And with more Woods and Water, South Carolina. Welcome back to Woods and Water, South Carolina. This has got to be by far the most comfortable setting I have ever been in to do this show. I think Neil Paul went to sleep sitting over there. It's kind of a lounge area here, and well, they got nice cushy pillows, and it is it's great. I'm waiting on my next guest that will be here. He is James Hall. He Bassmaster Magazine. But I wanted, you know, there's some you know how I am about technology, and everyone knows we couldn't live without it. But I ran across this five technological phobias, the fear linked to technology. And just to pass the time, let's see, cyberphobia, persistent fear of using computers. This phobia affects several generations have lived this pivotal era which saw the introduction of computers in our society and workplaces. Here it is, totally irrational, the result of a lack of adaptation. That fear is caused by refusing to abandon old work process to embrace technology. And this explains me just absolutely perfect. And it's linked to the lack of conviction and spirit of overcoming the new call denied for computer and followers of a formula that works has not changed. The fear can become so sick that the person who has it can completely block. The only way to cope is through education, use of friendlier interfaces, users with almost no learning curve. And that's me. I hate computers. I'm sorry. Of course, I would still be using Lotus And for you, those of you who don't know what Lotus is, it's the predecessor to Excel. So anyway, we got James Hall. Thank you for being on Woods and Water, South Carolina.
Thank you for having me, Roger. I appreciate it.
Yes, sir. You're the editor of Bassmaster Magazine.
That is right.
Gosh, your distribution is how much?
Well, we have a circulation of about 550,000, and we have about four and a half million readers now.
4.5 million readers of a fishing magazine, folks. You know, bass fishing is big when you have that much.
That is right.
That's right. Tell us just a little bit about who you are and what you do. I mean, as editor, because a lot of people go, edit, okay, well, you know, people submit stuff and you say, okay, it looks good, and you let it go. But tell us about yourself and what you do with Bassmaster.
Yeah, well, I've been with the company since 1999. And when I took over the editorship of Bassmaster in 2003, it was a pretty steep learning curve because my boss, still my boss, Dave Precht, was
yes,
the editor.
Yes, Dave.
Since, you know, the dinosaurs were walking the earth. So there are big shoes to fill.
Well, I can't wait to see Dave Precht.
But yeah, you know, basically we have a staff of writers, senior writers that we brainstorm with to come up with feature ideas.
Okay.
And a lot of that is spawned on the Elite Series trail from these guys that are on the water, you know, 300 days out of the year. And so they forget about really cool things that some of us never even hear about. So,
right.
So one of my jobs is to kind of correlate what they know to my writers understanding it to bring it to the readership of BASS and Bassmaster. And so that's what we do. We try to come up with interesting story ideas. We get very talented writers to bring those stories to life. And then on the editing side, we make sure that they put their commas in the right place. We make sure that the features are illustrated well. We have incredible artists in our stable that can kind of help bring that underwater world to life. And then we have incredible photographers. And then we just squeeze it all together. We have Lori Tisdall. She's here as our lead designer for the magazine. And she makes it look beautiful. Makes me look good is what she's trying
to
do.
Yeah, everybody needs one of those.
That's exactly right.
Of course, in my case, you need several of those, and you still don't look very good. Next year.
Yes.
I mean, are y'all already starting to look forward to the Classic next year?
Yeah, well, let me put it, allow me to say this.
I'm from
Texas.
Uh-oh.
And so
you're basking in the glory of the next day and a half.
I'm going to lay naked in the sun until the final fish is weighed in on Sunday. You know, Texas is really showing out. I think Conroe's tougher than we wanted it to be.
Yes.
The weather has kind of put a damper on what I think the fishing really could have been there. They're still catching some great fish.
They are.
But the fans are showing out in great numbers. I just came from the Outdoor Expo. And it is wall-to-wall.
Wall-to-wall people.
Yeah, and it's a huge space, so that's saying something.
And what part of Texas are you from?
I was born in Wichita Falls, Texas.
Okay.
So north, and then I spent some time in Houston. This is where my mom and dad kind of spent their whole time, and my mom's still here. And then I lived in Granbury around the Dallas area.
Okay.
So I kind of up and down the I-45 corridor.
But all Texas.
Texas until I started working for Bass. And then I got the job working for Bass in 99. I moved to Montgomery, Alabama.
Okay.
And I worked for Helen. And,
right.
And then they sold ESPN, so we moved to Orlando.
Okay.
For a little spell.
All right.
And then Don Logan and Jerry McInnes and Jim Copeland bought us and brought us back to Alabama. So now we're in Birmingham.
Jerry McInnes, there's a name.
Yes. Yes.
Wow. He was at the media banquet, sat across the table from me, and I looked at him. I was like, wow. So, you know, of all the, you know, I've said wow to a lot of people, but you know, that's a big wow.
Yeah, it really is. You know, we have been incredibly blessed as a company having the owners that we have.
Yeah.
Don Logan, who knows more about the publishing industry than maybe anybody ever on earth ever. Jerry McInnes, who is a stalwart in the TV production industry, been at the fishing show longer than just about anybody.
Yes.
And then Jim Copeland, who's a crazy brainiac when numbers are in front of him. So it was like the A-team to put in charge of BASS, and it's been an awesome ride since they took over.
Your job as editor, do you get to meet a lot of the elite guys?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah, we spend a lot of time with those guys because that's where our content comes from, you know.
Okay.
So we spend as much time as we can with them. And we're lucky enough to be asked to a lot of media events where, you know, their sponsors will want to show off some new baits or rods and reels or electronics or whatever. And so they'll ask us as riders to come along and spend time with their kind of passel of pros that they have. And there we get in an intimate surroundings with these guys and get to pick their brains and go fishing with them. And it becomes a really good relationship because when we need content for the magazine, it's a, you know, phone call away.
Yeah. And wow, what content you can get from those guys.
Yeah, it's fun. And, you know, a lot of guys that I'm in bass clubs and fish with weekend guys. And they're like, man, are these guys really that good? Or are they just richer than me? Can they, I said, no, dude. They're really that good.
They could be poorer than those other guys.
Yeah. They are really that talented, man. When you spend that, and they have, you know, there's a sixth sense, I think, that comes along for these guys that make this level of fishing and compete at this level. There's got to be something special about them to be, especially if they're there for a while.
Yeah.
Because that's not an accident and that's not luck. That is a talent.
It's a talent because your local guys can, well, your guy that lives in the Woodlands,
mm-hmm.
who fishes Conroe, or the guy that lives in Pickens that fishes Kiwi or, mm-hmm. or lives in Anderson, fishes Hartwell. They can go to that lake and be good
mm-hmm.
on that lake. And in fact, they can be as good as probably some of these guys can be.
Mm-hmm.
But they can't go to Conroe, Texas, from Anderson, mm-hmm. and be good. They can't go to any of the other tour stops, like Cherokee,
mm-hmm.
that we had earlier this year,
right.
or Okeechobee, and deal with the grass. You know, they've mm-hmm. got to be so well rounded as fishermen.
Well, I tell you what'll really piss you off is when they come to your home lake and do better than you ever have done. That happens a lot to me. I'm like, no. So I'm following a guy around that's only seen the lake twice, and he catches 20 pounds. I've only ever caught 12 there.
Oh, wow.
Not enough to irritate you.
That is irritating.
Uh-huh. But they are that good.
They are that good. Expo.
Yes.
Big thing.
Man, it is awesome. This year, in the great state of Texas, in my hometown of Houston.
Wow.
Here where I think God was born.
Oh, boy, it's getting deep in here.
Yeah, we have the biggest expo that we've ever had, 325,000 square feet. And the space is all contiguous. So it's
yes.
one ginormous room, and it's full to the brim of the merchandisers
yeah.
and the manufacturers and the folks of around Houston and all over Texas, probably Louisiana, Arkansas, wherever, have come out in droves to see it. And it's cool because you get to see all the newest stuff. There are manufacturers now that are releasing new baits and reels and rods at the Classic. This has become a launch site for them because it's such a popular place for consumers to come visit.
Triton Boats
yes.
released a new boat, aluminum boat here at the
How
Classic.
How awesome is that? See,
and
I mean,
we want one.
Yeah, I talked to Adam over at Triton. He and I are going to have a conversation.
There we go, yeah. Yeah, they actually told me that boat was being built Monday. They were finished the build. Yeah, I talked to them. Gosh, I can't remember where I saw them, but I asked them about that hull, she said, mm-hmm. it will be here. It's yeah. over there. They were finishing up Monday, brought it here Tuesday, and yeah. here it is.
That is an incredible. I was lucky enough to go visit that aluminum plant
yeah.
in Triton, and it is awesome to see the technology that goes into building a tin boat, you know.
Yeah.
And that the finished product is as nice as the fiberglass boats were in 94.
Yeah. It's
so
unreal.
They are an impressive boat.
Well, I hate to say this, and I'm glad he's not here and he's not listening, and I've only asked them this once, but from a magazine perspective, and coming back to Lake Hartwell, and we'll give Texas its due. It's been a great one. I'm sure tomorrow's just going to be great. And actually, I love Texas. My wife lived just north of here in Spring, Texas.
That's very close.
And when she her parents lived in Dallas, she lived in Lewisville, Texas. So, you know, I'm very close, and she was like, "Are you going to go right by my high school and all?" And I was like, "Okay, whatever." and we got about a minute left. Casey Ashley, repeating on Lake Hartwell. What would that be from your side on the magazine? That would just be unreal.
It would be crazy.
Coverage wise,
you know, the thing about Casey winning is his teeth are so beautiful.
gosh.
That it, you know, he doesn't even, he wouldn't even have to lift up the trophy. He could just smile and we'd
smile.
All fall in love.
Yeah.
But it is, he is so good on that lake, that it will certainly be hard to bet against him. Now it is not, I'm not saying it's impossible, for him to win, but it'll be difficult.
Yeah. Different time of the year.
Yes.
I think coming in March, it will be a lot of, I think the fish will be more active.
Yeah.
I don't think it'll be as quite as cold, but
thank
man.
You, baby Jesus.
Oh, man. Oof, I should have had him for the first half of the show. well, great. Well, look, listen, folks, if you're out there and you're not a member of Bass, you need to join. They have a great magazine. I just re-upped my membership. Cool. Okay. Thanks for being on the show.
Oh, thank you so much.
Hey, look, people, you got to make the time to get outside. Can't do it, but get those back roads when you can. And as always, don't forget that camera. I'll see you back here next week with more Woods and Water, South Carolina.